chapter 2. I'm not going to hit every verse in here, but I'm going to hit many of them this morning. I'm still trying to help. My goal with this is to help us to understand the book of Galatians, why Paul needed to write it, and some of the theology along the way. Okay, we're headed somewhere. Paul is headed somewhere in this letter that he wrote to these churches in the region called Galatia. And if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Galatians chapter 2. I'm going to start in verse 2. Early he says that he went to, it was 14 years after he gave his heart to Christ, that he went to Jerusalem to meet with the leaders. Verse 2 there, he says, I went there because God revealed to me that I should go. While I was there, I met privately with those considered to be leaders of the church and shared with them the message I had been preaching to the Gentiles. If you want to check this out, check out this afternoon, go to Acts chapter 15, and you're gonna see a lot of this, okay? And it'll just add to it, all right? That was when this was called the council at Jerusalem, the church council at Jerusalem, where they were trying to deal with circumcision and the law regarding new believers that were not Jewish, okay? And so Paul basically is going, and he says, "Hey, I want to find out if I'm in the right here, and make sure that we're on the same page, that I'm preaching what I need to be preaching." Though it had been revealed to him by Jesus Christ, he said. And so in this chapter, he is still trying to reestablish his credibility as an apostle, of Jesus Christ. Because again, it is likely that there were some who came, some Jewish people who came to the region of Galatia, and they began to basically discredit Paul and his ministry and his teachings. And they began to add to that, say, Paul doesn't really know what he's talking about. Matter of fact, you guys need to be circumcised if you really want to serve God. If you want to be right with God, you have to be circumcised and you have to follow Jewish customs and Jewish laws. Okay? And so that's the reason why Paul wrote this book. And Paul is trying to reestablish his credibility. We're going to look at the next slide. Says, again, this is the last part of verse 2. I want to make sure that we are in agreement. How many of you know that there's power in agreement? It is better that we are united than divided in the church, in our faith, and let's face it, as a country. May the Lord give us grace as a nation to unite together. I wanted to make sure that we were in agreement for fear that all my efforts had been wasted and I was running the race for nothing. Paul knew that the leaders in Jerusalem would agree with the gospel he preached and that he had not been running in vain. He knew that because in reality, he had received this message from Jesus Christ himself. And he was going there to make sure that they were all on the same page. Verse 3, Paul says, and they supported me. That's those leaders there in Jerusalem. If you go look at Acts chapter 15, they supported me and did not even demand that my companion Titus be circumcised, though he was a Gentile. All right? This is important because Paul's saying, this helps Paul's case here, saying they don't need to be because I took a Gentile there to be with these leaders as I went to find out, make sure we were all on the same page. And I had a Gentile with me who's a Gentile believer, and they did not demand that he was circumcised. Okay, this adds to Paul's case. Okay, again, he's setting up credibility, saying, hey, I know what I'm talking about. I'm not a rogue apostle, this rogue preacher. I am, matter of fact, I've been commissioned by Jesus. That was chapter 1. He said, Jesus revealed this gospel to me. And then now he's saying, hey, on top of that, if that wasn't enough, I went to Jerusalem, met with Peter, James, and John, and they said, good job. You're going to see some more of that. And then even beyond that, they didn't demand that Titus, my friend, okay, anybody read the book of Titus in the New Testament? Yeah, a young minister. They didn't demand that Titus was circumcised. And so because of this, they had resolved this situation then. We're going to skip down to verse 6. Excuse me. And the leaders of the church had nothing to add to what I was preaching. By the way, their reputation as great leaders made no difference to me, for God has no favorites. You know, we can really be impressed with this leader and that leader, and I think that there is something about and good and about showing respect and honor. But Paul basically went in and said, like, doesn't matter who you are, you're the leader, I'm going to show you respect. And this isn't the only place that the scripture says that God has no favorites. In other words, you can be God's favorite. I saw somebody had a shirt one time and said, I don't know how you can be God's favorite when I am. Something like that, you know. And so I like this because any one of us can be. We can all have relationship with God. He's not just looking out for a few select people. He's looking out for each and every one of us, and he loves each and every one of us. Those leaders didn't need to add anything to Paul's message. They didn't need to add. They said you don't need to add anything else. You're right on track, man. You're right on track. Your gospel is good. Remember in chapter 1, Paul mentioned you're listening to a different gospel. Okay? It was a deviation from the truth. Verse 7, instead, they saw that God had given me the responsibility of preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, just as he had given Peter the responsibility of preaching to the Jews. Okay? It's clear that he's been set up by God as a leader in the same sense as Peter has been. They saw that God had given him this responsibility. They recognized the call of God on Paul's life. Okay? We understand that the people that he was writing to in this letter, they lost track of it. And Paul's having to say, hey, again, I know what I'm talking about. I know what this gospel is about. And you guys are being distracted from it, deviated from this gospel truth. Come back to the center. You're off base. You're off too far to one side. Come back. Okay? Let's look down in verse 10. Their only suggestion. Anybody ever given you any suggestions? I bet. Their only suggestion, this was the leaders, okay, those apostles, that's Peter, James, and John. Their only suggestion was that we keep on helping the poor, which I've always been eager to do or always been zealous to do. And I want to point out something right here. Paul was eager to do good works for the glory of God, but realized that these good works were not the way to salvation. Okay? He was saying, I was eager to do those good things, but still, that's still my message. Good things ought to come out of a believer's life, right? But it's not the way that we're saved. It's not the way that we get to go to heaven. We don't get to go to heaven because we helped somebody across the street, we carried their groceries, or we went to church a certain amount of times, or we gave a certain amount of money in the offerings. That's why I don't know who gives what. In this church, I'm not interested in it. I know how much is given, but I don't know who gave it. Because that's not my focus. Obviously, we need money to do things. We need money to keep the air conditioning on. But it has to do with, it's not a matter of those things that gets us into heaven. It's a matter of being washed in the blood of the Lamb. And then out of that relationship, we get to know God. And then we begin to do good things. Paul said, they suggested that I keep helping the poor, which I've always been eager to do. Look for opportunities to be a blessing. I know many of you do. This week, there's an opportunity called Vacation Bible School. Verse 11. But when Peter came to Antioch, this is where it gets interesting. When Peter came to Antioch, okay, so Paul was there, and he said, Peter came over. Peter traveled over to this area that I was in. He said, I had to oppose him to his face, for what he did was very wrong. Leaders are not always right. Please don't ever forget that your leaders are human. Your pastor's human. I'm trying to do the right thing. But sometimes I miss it. Our president is human. And regardless of whether you're Republican or Democrat or otherwise, he's our president. We should pray for him. Whoever the president is. But Paul says, again, he's writing a letter. He's including this part for a reason. I had to oppose Peter to his face. I had to confront the guy because he was very wrong about, and we're going to look at it. So Paul tells this account for two reasons: to establish once again that he is an apostle, and to give an example of keeping the truth of the gospel by not giving in to compromise, by not watering it down and going a different direction with it. Okay? Verse 12, when he first arrived, that's Peter, when Peter first arrived, he ate with the Gentile believers who were not circumcised. You want to learn, you want to find out some more this afternoon, go also to Acts chapter 10. And you're going to find the account of what happened with Cornelius and Peter, this guy who was eating with the Gentiles. Now, God revealed it to him ahead of time that God in a vision that he wanted Peter to go to visit with Cornelius, a Gentile, and those in his house, and to tell them about the good news, the gospel. And so he does, because God showed it to him right before. And then, so here we're back in verse 12. So you got more homework. Acts chapter 10 and Acts chapter 15. Okay. When Peter first arrived, he ate with the Gentile believers who were not circumcised. But afterward, later on, when some friends of James came, Peter wouldn't eat with the Gentiles anymore. These individuals were Jews who were circumcised and likely wanting to pull other people that direction. Okay. And it affected Peter. Peter wanted to not stir the water too much right there. And he succumbed to the fear of man. And that's why Paul had a problem with it. See, at one time he was eating with those Gentile believers who were not circumcised, but then a group of other Jewish believers came, and Peter stopped eating with them, with the Gentile believers, so that he didn't have to deal with it from them. Peer pressure works two ways. It's really cool when it's positive, but when it's negative, it can really be detrimental. Have you seen peer pressure both ways? Be careful. Be careful. Let's not allow the fear of man to control us. Here at the the last part of verse 12, he was afraid of criticism. This is Peter. Peter was afraid of criticism from these people who insisted on the necessity of circumcision. Peter succumbed to that peer pressure and that fear of man. He didn't want to deal with that criticism. He didn't want to deal with them telling others, maybe. I don't know. But we know that Proverbs tells us that the fear of man will prove to be a snare. Really thank the Lord that he had a friend like Paul. But it probably didn't feel so good in this moment, do you think? Where Paul confronted him there to his face. Verse 13, as a result, other Jewish believers followed Peter's hypocrisy. See the problem? Now, not only was Peter doing it, others began to do it. And even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. Now, Barnabas was this really cool guy who basically took Paul in when Paul, shortly before, was persecuting believers. And now he gives his heart to Christ. And Paul gives his heart to Christ. And when others didn't trust Paul, Barnabas came along and put his arm around and said, come on, you're with me. He's the guy that they call the son of encouragement. Barnabas. A neat guy. He went on the first two missionary journeys with Paul. And here it's so Paul knew his stuff. And these Gentile believers in Galatia knew who Barnabas was too. And so here Paul is reminding them, hey, this was such a problem that even Barnabas was led astray. And by their hypocrisy. There's a word that everybody likes. Hypocrisy. Paul called out Peter's hypocrisy. And I pray that God will purify us from any hypocrisy in our lives. Hypocrisy is a problem because it is a lie that our mouth and our life tell. Really, sometimes our mouth tells a different story, but our life tells the reality. Hypocrisy is when the two don't line up. And most likely, hypocrisy in our life is an area of our life that we are not obeying Jesus in. So the question this morning is, what area of your life are you being hypocritical, if any? What area of your life are you not obeying Jesus in? I can't answer that question for you this morning, but I believe that the Holy Spirit will point that out to you. Because he's good at doing that. You know why? It doesn't glorify him when we live a hypocritical life. And in reality, God wants us to be free, not bound by anything else. So Paul could not keep his mouth shut. He couldn't put a clamp on it. He couldn't shut up. He couldn't just let it go because it was beginning. Peter's actions were beginning to affect other people. And then he realized, he saw through it, that it's not just who you're associating with. It's a problem with your understanding of the gospel. That those who are in Christ are all one. And Paul had to open his mouth and say, Peter, that ain't right. No. No, sir. Verse 14, when I saw that they were not following the truth, here it is. When I saw they were not following the truth of the gospel. The truth of the gospel. I said to Peter in front of all the others. So he confronted him in front of other people. Because he had been doing that in front of other people. You don't always have to take them in another room, I guess, to confront. Yikes. See, it was not the truth of the gospel, because it was as if they were going backwards, back to keeping the law for justification. See, Peter began to revert back to, the way that he was brought up. We don't associate with non-Jews. We don't associate with them. We don't eat meals with them. Jesus had done away with that. Peter began to revert back to that because of some influence from some other people. Be careful who's influencing you. It's a great message for teenagers. But it's also a great message for adults, because adults can be around people who drag them down and take them the wrong direction too. Peter was an adult. So were these other Jewish believers. They were adults. So it's not just peer pressure, is not just for teenagers. I've made decisions as an adult. Well, good gravy, I didn't give my heart to Christ until I was 19. Most of us would consider that an adult. I was pretty green everywhere. He said, they were not following the truth of the gospel. They were beginning to go back and find their justification. I'll be right with God if I follow the law, if I follow those rules. I'll be right with God. I'll remain right with God that way. And Paul said, that isn't right, Peter. Uh-uh. Cut it out. In front of everybody. Verse 14. Later in verse 14, he said to, I said to Peter in front of all the others, since you, Peter, a Jew by birth, have discarded the Jewish laws and are living like a Gentile, why are you now trying to make these Gentiles follow the Jewish traditions? Are you with me so far? Peter, if you were a Jew by birth, you were raised that way, and now you've given up that lifestyle, accepted Jesus Christ, and are living more like a Gentile, why are you going to make these Gentiles live like a Jew that you're no longer following either? Are you with me still? Okay, and really, more than likely he's talking about ceremonial laws, customs. These were customs that they did. I don't believe, obviously, laws like do not kill, do not steal, do not commit adultery, those things, we still don't. Paul's not saying not to follow those. He's saying that's not the way that we get to go to heaven. Does that make sense? We don't get to go to heaven because we've done those things or not done those things. We get to go to heaven because Jesus purchased us and paid for our sins on the cross. As we know, doing good is not enough to measure up to a holy God. At what point can you do enough good? I've had people, I say, hey, how do you know you're going to go to heaven? Well, you know, I've really tried to be a good person. At what point do you do enough good to get to go to heaven? Where's that threshold? Is it the same for every person, or is it different? Well, I think it's the same, and it's called the blood of Jesus, not by doing good. It obviously, we're called to do good. Look at James, James chapter 3, I believe it is. He says that you need to have faith and works, faith and deeds, not just one or the other. You prove that you have faith by your deeds, but our salvation doesn't come through the deeds. It comes through the faith. I hope I'm not losing you this morning. The goal is not to make Gentile believers into Jews, but to become but to make them into the image of Christ. Amen? The goal is to help people to become more and more like Jesus. And let's put this on us today. The goal is not to make people look just like us, but to help them to look more like Jesus. And so what that boils down to, it's not a matter of appearance, it's a matter of the heart. Wouldn't you say? If we can help them, if we can love and choose to love, and we can help them and show them that those are those important things, then they begin to walk in love no matter what they look like, no matter how they dress. And God will be honored and God will be glorified. We want to allow him to do that work. Because if he doesn't do that work, then it's likely that he's not been invited into the heart. Verse 15. You and I are Jews by birth, Peter, not sinners like the Gentiles. That was the way they were brought up. They were brought up that anybody who wasn't a Jew was automatically a sinner because they didn't have the law. They didn't have the word of God, and therefore they were sinners. They didn't try to honor God. Verse 16. But yet, Peter, we know. Okay, this is Paul still speaking to Peter. Yet, Peter, we know that a person is made right with God. We know this. We know that a person is made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ, not by obeying the law. Peter, you just were trying to revert back to obeying that law by not associating with these uncircumcised Gentiles. And, Peter, we have believed in Jesus Christ. We've placed our faith in him, so that we might be made right with God because of our faith in Christ, not because we have obeyed the law. Okay? He's reminding Peter of Peter's decision. He's reminding Peter of how we're justified. Peter knows it. Hey, you guys know that there's a great distance. This is a humongous difference from our head to our heart. It became a little blurry for Peter at this time in his life. Do you realize that Paul confronted the top dog? Peter was the big shot. Again, sometimes leaders are wrong. Now, I don't encourage you to challenge and confront leaders in front of everybody like this very often, because they don't always receive it well. But Paul wasn't in the wrong. It was Peter that was in the wrong. And again, he's sharing this in the letter, not to brag, but to, again, establish, I know what I'm talking about. Okay? I know what I'm talking about. And even Peter had a problem with that. I corrected that. So listen to what I'm saying. Listen to this correction that I brought to Peter's life. All right, we're going to look at the next slide. For no one will ever be made right with God by obeying the law. Did you catch that? No one will be made right with God by obeying the law. Paul writes in another letter that the law is like a mirror. And what is the law supposed to do? The law was never designed to make people right with God. It was designed to show people where they missed it, where they were wrong, where they had sinned. It was to show them sin in their life. Now, but Pastor, whoa, you're blowing me away. No, it isn't wrong teaching. Look, the whole time God instituted through Moses the sacrificial system, and gave many of these laws that likely Paul's referring to here. They didn't have to go and make sacrifices anymore, okay? Because Jesus became that lamb, that sacrificial lamb for us once and for all. And all the while, through that sacrificial system of bulls and rams and goats and dove, that to offer those, to sacrifice those animals for the forgiveness of their sins, it was all pointing them to Jesus Christ. And the law was there to say, hey, you haven't done it right. Because God wanted to throw it in their face? No, because he wanted them to begin to realize that there is going to be forgiveness. This is just the shadow, the type in the shadow. This is just the temporary way to do it. And it was all pointing to that one, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And so the law will never make anybody right with God. Obeying it will never make us right with God. Because the law was there as a mirror. The mirror shows us, oh goodness, I got my buttons wrong. Right? Or, oh my goodness, you look like alfalfa. There's the I'm sticking straight up. Okay? That's what the law is there for. It's there to show us what needs attention. And then we can take that to the Father. Right? We can get those things under the blood. As a matter of fact, the law was in place to help people see that they are a mess and therefore need a Savior. That's what the law was intended for. Verse 19. Pardon me, my mouth is super dry today. Paul says, he kind of stops with that one and he begins, says, for when I tried to keep the law, it condemned me. When that was my sole purpose, was to follow the laws condemned me. So I died to the law. I stopped trying to meet all its requirements so that I might live for God. That's got to be our goal, is that we're living for God. Verse 20, my old self has been crucified with Christ. In other words, I'm dead to that old person. I'm dead to those old ways. Church, are you dead? Are you dead to those old ways? Remember, that's one of the things that water baptism symbolizes. Death to the old man. And we're basically saying, goodbye, I don't need that anymore. I'm not that person anymore. Goodbye. And all those ways of the world. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Church, I'm going to ask you the question this morning. Is Christ living in you? Is he living through you? Are you allowing him to do that? Or is it only you that's living? And if that's the case, then we have to die to the old self so that Jesus can live in us. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God. Looky there. There's a key. By trusting in the Son of God for that salvation. I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Again, this is in response to Peter not associating with those Gentile believers and begin showing hypocrisy there. And distracting others from that as well, from the truth of the gospel, that we're all one in Christ and that our salvation, our righteousness does not come from following those laws. Our righteousness comes from Jesus Christ. Praise God. Verse 21. I do not treat the grace of God as meaningless. Make certain that we're not treating God's grace as trash. Make certain that you're not, that you're, you know, one way to keep from that is by thanking God daily. And then it won't, thank Him for the grace. Thank Him for the cross. You get tired of hearing about the cross or the blood of Jesus, you might be beginning to have a problem in your life. If you're bothered by the cross and the blood, don't be that. Make sure that that doesn't get a grip of your heart, because we need to thank God every day for those things. Thank you, Lord, for the cross. We understand that it's through the blood that we are made righteous. Because, see, Jesus' blood, when he shed His blood, it was perfect, pure blood, not tainted by sin like yours and mine. Because we know that Romans 3:23 tells us that for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Everybody sinned, except for Jesus, who lived a perfect example for us. And therefore, when it was time for Him to go to that cross, His blood was pure. And therefore, it covers us. If he had messed up, if He had sinned, it wouldn't have worked. It wouldn't have worked, because it would never have appeased our holy God, the righteous Father. I do not treat the grace of God as meaningless. No, God's grace certainly isn't meaningless, is it? If you thought it was meaningless, you wouldn't be here today. Okay? But let's make sure that we try to focus on that and say, God, I thank You for that grace. I thank You for Your love for me. I thank You for the cross. I thank You for the precious and powerful blood of Jesus. I encourage you to do that every day. I do not treat the grace of God as meaningless. For if keeping the law could make us right with God, then there was no need for Christ to die. Why would Jesus have needed to go to the cross? So it's very clear and apparent that you cannot be made right with God by observing the law, by keeping the law. We are only made right through the precious and powerful blood of Jesus. I'm going to ask you to bow your hearts. I've got all kinds of time left. This morning, I'm going to ask you to slip up your hand here in a moment. I believe that the Holy Spirit pricked your heart and convicted you when I brought up that word hypocrisy. And your hypocrisy may not have been the same as Peter's hypocrisy that we were referring to there. I may not have touched on it at all, but the Holy Spirit did in you. And I'm going to ask you this morning, if that's the case and you're ready to repent this morning and make sure that things are right between you and the Lord, I'm going to ask you to slip up your hand here in just a second. By slipping up your hand, you're saying, yeah, Pastor, I'm dedicating myself to the Lord today. I want to get these things under the blood. I want to live right. I want to please the Lord with my life. So if that's you this morning, or you want to begin a relationship with Jesus, either way, again, the Holy Spirit pricked your heart when I mentioned that word hypocrisy, and He pointed something out to you. I do not need to know what it is. That's not my interest. But my interest is you taking another step toward Jesus. So if that's you this morning, I'm asking you to slip up your hand. The Holy Spirit pricked you when I said that word hypocrisy. And the Holy Spirit pointed something out in your life. Is there anyone? Is there anyone? I would just challenge you to get those things under the blood where you're not, where you've not been obeying Jesus. I encourage you to start obeying him. God's good and he's gracious and he loves you. He really does. But sometimes he has to confront us. Sometimes he has to hit some of those things head on in our hearts or our minds. So, let's pray. Father, you know every person in the room. And Holy Spirit, I pray that as you convict them of sin, as you convict us of sin, God, that we would be quick to repent and quick to turn from those things and to stay close to you. Lord, you are faithful and you are worthy. Lord, I ask that you would empower your people. Help us, God, to stay true to the gospel. Help us to not live with any hypocrisy in our lives. Help us, Holy Spirit, to walk after your ways. Lord, we are not made right by keeping any of the laws, but Lord, we're made right by the precious and powerful blood of Jesus. Lord, help us to never lose sight of that. But I also ask that you would empower us to help others to learn the truth of your word about the precious blood of Jesus, that there's forgiveness of sins, that you make us right, that you truly forgive us, and you don't hold it against us any longer. Oh God, you're good and you're worthy, you're faithful. And we thank you today. Draw us near to yourself, God. And Jesus, we say thank you for dying on that cross, for taking our place. We say thank you, Lord, for cleansing us and making us new. Lord, continue to make us new. Lord, where we need that in our lives, help us to follow you. Lord, we repent. Lord, you're worthy, and we just thank you for your touch today in our lives. Holy Spirit, come and move in our hearts. Lord, I ask that you would empower your people this week. Lord, may they go and walk in your grace. May we walk in your love this week, and may we exemplify your love and your ways, that we might glorify you with our life, the way that we live it. Lord, live through us. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. God, we say goodbye to the old self, that old man. Lord, we don't want to pick any of its ways up anymore. But instead, Lord, we want all that you have for us. So we thank you. We give you all the praise. God, go with your people this week. Use them to shine brightly for you. Bring glory to yourself and draw your people to yourself. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. It is so good to see you this morning. So good to see you. Don't forget, we have VBS this Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Please be in prayer about that each day this week. Again, we do not have regular Wednesday night service this Wednesday because of VBS. We'll just be all hands on deck for that. VBS starts at 4 o'clock and it goes until 6:30. Workers will need to be here before it starts, okay? Don't show up right at time. That won't be as helpful as it could. So we're probably looking at 3 or 3:30 and something like that. We'll check with Pastor Brandy. I'll see if she can send something out. And all right, bless you guys. Great to see you today. Have a wonderful, wonderful afternoon. Adult Sunday schools across the street starts at 10:15.